The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. I'm in with my husband, co-host, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
How are you, Jackie?
You beat me.
I did. How are you doing today? You okay?
I'm doing very good today. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
We have with us Scott Frazier, owner of Infinite Interiors. Thanks for coming back on the show with us.
Hello. Thank you for having me back. Every time you ask, I'm a solid yes.
Yes, you are.
It's a great time.
You are.
It's a great time.
And we love, and you're one of our favorite guests, and I think the listeners love to listen to you too, because you have some great advice, wonderful pointers, and you know your stuff. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm humbled by your praise.
Okay, good. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk about the issues and topics that matter to homeowners, buyers, and sellers.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and take a look at our webcam that's pointed at Dunmore Corners and see what's going on.
Yeah, if you can't sleep in the middle of the night, it's
pretty good.
It can entertain you.
There's somebody in Oklahoma who's watching all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
People that leave the area.
I mean, I'm watching from Green Ridge, but I don't think that's the guy Buck from Oklahoma.
No, the guy's in the middle of the country.
What's going on, bud? What's going on with you?
Well, there's some people that have moved out of the area.
All right.
They get homesick, and they love to watch.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, we had some people from New Mexico I was watching. They were out there dancing in front of the camera. And I said, what's going on? They're like, oh, we watch from New Mexico. This is on our bucket list. I was like, oh, that's nice.
On your bucket list.
That's nice. That's nice. Well, they were from the area.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Jackie. I'm sorry.
We have a full-time real estate office with many relentless realtors who've been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 50 years. Look us up on social media. Also, remember, you can search the MLS, search our listings, and visit our archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com. That's JRUDDY.com, where we also have all the podcast apps that we feature this radio show on. Okay, Scott Frazier, Infinite Interiors. How long have you been an interior decorator?
Oh, Jackie. You can never tell by looking at me, but it's like 25 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
We had a great show.
It's crazy because I'm 36, but no, not at all.
We had a great show last week. Thank you.
Oh, it was great fun, wasn't it?
So I want to talk about decorating with art in 2025.
Oh, so do I.
All right. Let's talk.
I think key with artwork, the first thing I would tell anybody, it's because it's a mistake that I see reoccur over and over. Buy larger art. People tend to feel safer with small pieces of art. That's a 12 by 14. Oh, that's great. No, you need larger, because that has to be a statement piece. Like it has to be in correct scale and proportion to the space, or larger. Larger is okay. Smaller is not. It gets lost.
Right.
It gets lost.
All right. So I'm trying to.
And it looks out of whack because it's not in scale and proportion. It's so little.
All right. So say you have a couch.
You'll make your room look smaller.
Mm-hmm. Standard size couch. Are you saying it should be the width of that couch?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And what about.
And it could be one piece of art or maybe three.
Yeah.
Right? Or two. Right. It doesn't have to be just one, but the vignette of that art should pretty much be the size of that sofa. Because it has to support it visually.
So how high up at the wall should it be?
Oh, thank you for asking, because that's a big deal, because
yes,
I see that all the time.
I'm sure.
It should only be a matter of inches above whatever is beneath it, whether it's a sofa, a console, a door chest, a barrister bookcase. It should only be a few inches above it because your eye needs to take in the art and whatever is beneath it as one. When you pick the art up too high, you create this big expanse of negative space, and the whatever's underneath it and the artwork don't connect anymore. They float off without kind of rhyme or reason. The art does. So it's only a matter of inches above whatever's below it.
Okay.
And if there's nothing below it, if it's just a wall with a piece of art, you really only want to have the center of that piece be about, you want it to be like 50 inches off the floor at a guess. Then you could go above it if you have really high ceilings or something.
But what situation, but, I'm trying to think. I don't have any wall that doesn't have some piece of furniture, right?
Underneath the art. But every once in a while, you'll see it.
Yeah, it's like a museum or an art gallery.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
usually there's something under it.
So yeah, like
usually.
Eye level?
So yeah, well, and it's kind of a rough term, Pat, because your eye level is different than mine.
And mine.
Because you're a lot taller. Oh, yeah. So
she's a
it's
peanut.
Really hitting like a 50-inch kind of mark.
I'm going to go home and look at all my artwork. Yeah. I bet it's all wrong.
No, it's not.
No, I was in your house. If it's still there and you said you don't change anything, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
No, nothing was too high.
Yeah, okay. But what about frames? How do you know what kind of... We had a mirror with a frame on it that, woo, man, it was...
It was... I know this is going to horrify you. Please frame, don't have a heart attack on the spot, Fraser.
I'll leave right now.
Oh, no.
Good.
The frame
right
was plastic. I know. I say when I say plastic. It, I shake. But it didn't look like it. It was ornate.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah. So
don't tell anybody.
No, we didn't.
No, keep it to yourself.
Right.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
But everybody would come in and say, oh, my God, that's spectacular. Yes, I know. But anyway. Yeah. But no. One night, so... I come in through the back door, and so my dining room is through that back door. And so for some reason, my husband and my son, as soon as I came in, surrounded me, and they swept me out of the house because they knew something I didn't know. I didn't find out till 10 o'clock that night that my mirror came flying down.
Yeah,
I
smell drama.
Yeah, there was drama.
Yes, there was drama.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the mirror did not crack?
You're kidding me.
No.
The plastic
frame.
Did.
Yeah.
The plastic frame.
Really?
Saved the
that
mirror.
High quality frame.
it was like a crash test dummy. It's
like pushing it.
You know, I admired this mirror. You know my furniture and you know my and you've seen that mirror.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't remember, but anyway,
oh, no. I'm like, oh, the plastic mirror.
Yeah.
No.
It was high-quality glass. Yeah. It was beveled glass. It was beautiful, but the mirror was...
But the frame was not. So when I went into this house, it was people selling their mother's house to sons. And so I was accompanying a realtor on a listing appointment to help her out. And I saw this mirror. It was like one of the only things they had left in this house. I said, what are you going to do with this mirror? I said, I'd love to buy it off you because I knew it would be perfect for that wall.
Right.
And it was just the length of the buffet table I have in front of it. And they said, you want it? Take it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought
it weighed as much as she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not very heavy with the plastic. But anyway.
Right. The mirror was heavy.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But I had it and it worked. It worked in that room. It looked great.
So
now I need a new mirror.
But RIP plastic mirror. It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. RIP plastic mirror.
Yes.
Yeah.
It ended up in the dumpster across the street.
So I need a new mirror.
Okay.
I have a empty wall. It has to be right, though.
It has to be right.
So when Pat talks about frames, it has to pull all that together.
Well, the frame should work with the aesthetic that the room is put together in.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It needs to complement whatever decor is in that room, style of furniture, pieces of art, the type of rug that's in there. It has to, you know, marry well with those objects.
I cannot go with a modern mirror.
Right.
I cannot.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to look
old,
out of step.
That's old furniture in that room.
Yeah.
It's over 100 years old.
Yeah. Sometimes you can. And when you can, the look that's executed is really fantastic.
I don't trust myself to do that.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, very.
It's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I've seen your dining room furniture. It's not going to allow you to put a modern piece. It's not.
No.
It's not going to allow you to do it.
Even I know that.
Yeah. Pat knows.
You and I know that.
You and I know that.
It's not going
to
allow you to do it.
Every time I go for the mail and walk back through the house, I say, I got to get a mirror.
Yeah.
But it's not something I'm thinking about every day.
Right.
Oh, well. I could do a painting, too.
You could do a painting. It all depends. Do you want to open up the space, make it look bigger? Like, what's the goal?
I like a mirror.
Yeah. Then go for a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mesco will actually cut it and frame it for you, and you could pick from a selection of frames. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can pick from a selection of frames. They will do any shape, size you're looking for.
And I can get an old world.
Yeah, you can, because they have multiple frames you can choose from.
Well, I think we're going to go down to On and On and walk through
there. Oh, yeah. On and On's great. Yeah.
And then, if I don't see something that hits me, maybe we'll go over to Mesco and figure that out.
What about, go to an estate sale. Keep your eyes open with those.
Yeah.
That's where you'll find something like that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't.
You know?
Usually.
Yeah. Or just go to Ethan. You know, go to Ethan Allen and Allen. Order online. That's where you'll find that stuff. Price point will be quite different from an estate sale, but that's where you'll find things like
that. That's how I found you, Ethan Allen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's how we met.
Many moons ago.
Yeah. All right, so what about this emerging trend in sculpture?
When you and I were both teens.
Yes,
Kathy.
Yes. Yeah. Before we were legal.
Yeah, before we were legal.
Emerging trend in what?
What? Sculptures.
Sorry. Sculptures.
Oh, yeah. No, super important.
Yeah,
you need to have it in
your house.
So
what's going on here?
It's another artistic expression of your taste and your style. And they should be in your house. And it could be, it depends on your house. Maybe the sculpture is incredibly modern and globular in form. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's
Are we talking
a bust.
Statues?
No, but it could be. It certainly could be. It could be a bust.
Yeah.
It could be, aside from something modern, let's say if your room is set up and it's very Ivy League looking, Harvard, Princeton, you know, to see a sculpture of a gentleman with a golf club would be expected. So it's important. I think they're important pieces to have in your house.
What about lighting?
And it creates a more interesting interior and a more curated interior, which is really important. To me, it is. I think an interior should be curated for certain.
Well, I could certainly appreciate it being a conversational piece. Like, yeah. I think that would go a long way, but I can't imagine.
Well, think of the quality that brings to a room, that sculpture. It has dimension. It's not just flat. Right?
Right.
Because
it's an object that's 3D. It's all around. And it also brings height, visual interest.
True.
It brings a lot to the table.
Sure.
Yeah, a lot to the table.
How big should these things be? How do you know what
Depends on where you're putting it, Pat.
Okay.
Right? Like, if you're putting it in bookshelves, then obviously you're restricted on what that size should be.
Okay.
If you're putting it in a foyer and your foyer is big, it can be big. It just depends on where you're putting it. Yeah. But wonderful pieces. If you don't have anything like that in the house, start looking into it.
But don't overdo it.
No, never overdo it. Never overdo it.
Like maybe one piece in each room.
Right.
Right?
Think of it like animal print.
Oh, God.
Okay. Can I get a table?
I love animal print. I'm a huge fan.
Yes, but I'm thinking.
It needs to be executed well with good taste, meaning if you have, let's say, one significant piece in your, let's say it's a chair.
In moderation.
It's a chair. And your chair's an animal print. You're done now.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere else at all.
So I don't want a leopard skin couch.
No. We don't want Elvis's jungle room. We don't want to do that.
No, that's what I think.
Yeah. But when it's executed well, it's one of the most beautiful. You'll see it in interior magazines from 60 years ago, and you'll see it today. It is a classic design element that designers pull on all the time, is animal print. Again, you have to execute it well.
It's also a nice.
And it does scare people. When I say that word, they get nervous, like you just did, Jackie. Yeah, but when it's done well, it's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
How about sculptural light fixtures? Talk to me about that, because I can't even imagine them.
It depends on what it is. I personally, as a designer, I'm not a fan of the new ones that are really modern and they look like they belong in a club.
Oh, okay.
Not really in my house.
All right.
Maybe it's over the bar at the Limelight, and that's where it belongs. It really, you know,
Limelight.
And because of what I do aesthetically, I'm not going to recommend something like that.
Okay.
Well. It's too harsh.
Okay.
It's kitschy. It's something you're going to change probably pretty quick because you're going to get tired of it.
Yeah, I don't think I would care for that style. But
yeah.
All right. So
I would lean away from that type of thing.
All right.
That's something you'd get at an estate sale.
No.
So neutral interior design was popular for years, but sure. Now there's more personality. Brighter colors, unique decor, and other personal touches.
Correct.
So what are you recommending?
Colors back. It's big. I'm so thankful every day because neutral is... drab.
But, I know, but what if someone
the only thing you have to do
like
with a neutral
bold.
Is I think pick one neutral and stick to it, but really commit heavy. You can execute a beautiful look with that, but you need to just stay there.
Okay.
You know, but you have to be committed and specific, and you have to repeat it over and over and over and over. Then it becomes more monochromatic, and that look becomes really clean and sharp.
All right. So if someone's
but
not
how many things do you want that are mushroom? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it needs to be, as always, and if you go probably back in the archives of your show, and I'm assuming that the shows that I'm on are in the best of category.
Yes. You know it.
Yeah. Somebody's interior should reflect who they are. It should reflect their personal taste. It should reflect the people who live in it. So... that's going to be different, but then pick your favorite color and then start to move it around the house. Different textures that you love, bring them in. And color, right, is obviously a self-expression. It's a form of self-expression. So bring that in. Neutrals just, they wash out. And I'm glad they're over because I'm so sick and tired of grayish.
And boring.
When grayish came on the scene, I was tired of it. Because there's nothing to look at. There's no visual interest at all.
Okay, so if someone doesn't like bold or is afraid to go bold.
And it doesn't have to be bold. Your colors can be all muted and very, very calm.
Would you advise earth tones?
Sure. Oh, certainly. Yeah. Think of like you go like into more a house up in the country and it's rustic and you have this massive two-story stone fireplace that's all this field stone. How beautiful would an earth tony olivey green wall be against that stone? Gorgeous. Yeah, earth tones all day long.
And when I think of earth tones, I think of browns.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't.
Oh, no. Think, you know what?
Terracotta,
broaden
sage.
That, broaden that palette.
Okay.
Think of terracotta, sages, paprika.
Love, yeah.
Like, broaden that.
Okay.
It's not just browns. Yeah,
I tend to
think of the colors you see in autumn.
Yes, okay.
Gold, burgundy, rusty brown, like the copper. Mm-hmm. Those are earth tones.
All righty.
Slates,
now
grays,
you're talking
caramels.
My all right.
Good. All great earth tones to bring in. And shades and shades and shades of green, which are beautiful. You know, because you can balance that out. Like, you know, you want to, on the color wheel, if you're going to create an interesting space, many times you want to go, if your walls are a cool green, then you want to go warmer tones maybe in your furnishings. And you don't see on the opposite side of the color wheel. So they complement one another.
Yeah, we just did the front porch and it's all kind of greenish.
Yeah.
All different shades of green. I wouldn't even know how to describe them.
Yeah. Which is beautiful though. When it's well put together, it looks beautiful.
With a terracotta colored front door.
Oh, right. There it is. See? That's exactly what you did.
Uh-huh.
Is what I just described.
Scott Fraser. Infinite Interiors. How does someone get in touch with you?
You can contact me on my cell, 570-933-0495, or through my email, scottfrazier, 1219@gmail.com.
How long are you booked out?
If you give me a call, I could probably come out to consult in a month, and then... end of project, I would say I'd put a 6-month window on that.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Pat?
Yes, we have a two-family home, a side-by-side double at 1227-1229 Hampton Street in Scranton for $220,000.
Hampton Street in Scranton.
Is that what I said? That's what I said.
I love that you Scrantonese that right out. That's Scranton.
This is perfect for the investor, or you could live on one side and have the rent pay the bills. It's in Scranton.
Scranton. This Don't you dare pronounce the T. Don't you dare.
Scranton.
Scranton.
This building has two 2-bedroom apartments, all separate utilities. You're making this difficult, Fraser, okay? The taxes are low. It's only $1,300 a year with the tenants paying all the utilities. This could be a very wise investment. That's a double-family home with 2-bedroom apartments, one on each side, at 1227-1229 Hampton Street in Scranton for $220,000.
That's not how you say it either.
He's not a native. You can tell he's an implant. Yeah. He's not a native.
I'm an import.
Hold on for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate at 94.3 FM The Talker. We will be back in just a moment.
Who are Century 21 agents? They're high-tech gizmo packing problem solvers with an appetite for getting things done. They know the best places to buy a home, to sell a home, and to find antiques, if you're into that kind of thing. They're weatherproof, foolproof, and proof positive that smart people doing good work can make big things happen for great folks like you. Oh, and there's one nearby. This is who they are. This is what they do. Century 21 agents. Smarter, bolder, faster. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.
Call 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's JRUDDY.com.
Back in the studio with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We are in with Scott Fraser, owner of Infinite Interiors. Thanks again. We love when you're here.
I love to come here, and I enjoy the company, the banter, the conversation. It's all a win-win.
Lots of laughs, too.
Lots of laughs.
All right. So, top architectural trends continue. This is from the National Association of Home Builders. Yes. Number one, and I think of you when I see this, timeless and traditional.
Yes.
Number two, universal design. They're talking about zero step entries, wide doors, lever handles, walk-in showers, yada, yada, yep. yada. Three, natural connections.
Natural connections.
Yes. This is where the occupants connect to their natural environment. So like incorporating greenery, organic materials inside and outside the homes, earthy green tones. We were talking about that before the break. Yeah. Four, health and wellness. This is, again, an architectural trend.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Think of any spa you walk into.
Right.
They're all set up aesthetically for health and wellness. The color palettes, the objects that you see around, they're all there for that reason.
And people want them in their homes.
Sure they do.
Space for wellness, home gyms, meditation spaces, tranquil bathrooms.
Your bathroom.
Yes.
If you don't have a meditation space or the other.
Lock the
but
door.
Everybody has a bathroom.
That's right.
Yeah, lock the door.
Lock the door.
And number five, resilience.
There's a Buddha on Pat's toilet. It's from his dual purpose.
I don't think. Yeah. Resilient design.
I do love a Buddha, by the way. Let's not shame.
Yes.
I
no,
love them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm reading a really nice book. I'm going to share it with you off air.
Do.
Yeah, I love it. I read a page, 2 pages a day.
And I love for people to think I read. So go ahead.
it's not hard. It's just 2 pages. It's how I start my day. Resilient design is number five, coming in last place here for architectural trends. So with climate-related disasters occurring more frequently, homebuyers want to make sure their homes can withstand natural forces, wind, fire, storms, so on. So resiliency is in mind with the home builders. Yeah. So
I feel like that comes more under the contractor's hat than mine.
Right.
But, you know, I find it funny in that in the what you're referencing, they didn't mention architectural salvage. Because that's huge in design, right now.
Uh-huh. Well, let's huge. Talk about it.
Let's talk about it because it's fantastic.
All right.
It's go. You know, we have a an amazing resource here, which we're very lucky to have. And it's Old Good Things, but they also have a showroom in Manhattan that I've been to. But they go into old homes and buildings, and they take out anything of aesthetic value, and they bring it into their shop. And you'll either find it in its rough form, or you'll find it refurbished because they've already done the work. Nice. And then you could purchase it and put it in your home.
But like architectural stained glass windows.
Stained glass windows, lighting fixtures, cupboards, tables, trim work, beautiful trim work.
Doors. The old fencing from outside.
Copper lions, fencing from outside, Pat. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, and they'll repurpose those too. Some people will use them, just repeat them in the form they were in, but they'll also take them, they'll make them into a table. Like they do interesting things like that, but they'll also sell the pieces as they were. They also have a lot of product right now from the Waldorf Astoria.
Really?
They bought all that out when they they redid it. They have beautiful things from there. I have a gravy boat from there.
Do you?
Yeah. That's why I went in. Oh.
The Waldorf. The good old, once again, the good old days.
Yeah, but they're back. They're reopened. And it's amazing. It's absolutely breathtaking.
I haven't been there.
Beautiful what they've done.
Yeah. Why did you tell her that?
Huh?
Why did you tell her that?
Because Jackie and I need a road trip. Pat, we need a road trip.
It's going to be an expensive day.
And we need your credit card. Okay. Those are the two things we need.
You can stay home.
We don't need me.
No. Oh, my God. Imagine the damage I can do in Manhattan with Frasier.
Have fun.
Oh, yeah. How much? Imagine.
Oh, it would be incredible.
That would be so much fun.
It would be so much fun.
Reporting that card story.
I would find my mirror.
You sure would. Oh, that is somewhere to find them. You know what they actually do? They take old hammer tin ceilings that are incredibly damaged, that can't really be salvaged, and they make them into mirrors. They frame them with the hammer tin ceiling.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't been there in Scranton, go over. They have the place on Gilligan Street. And then if you go over in Southside, where the old Capitol Records was, they have floor upon floor upon floor of furniture, all taken out of these old buildings.
What is this called?
Old Good Things, OLDE, Good Things.
They've been around for
Long time. But those buildings are huge. And
yes, they
when
are.
You go in, it is literally, I mean, be prepared to rummage because it's piles of chairs, you know, but it's really incredible.
When you were talking
it's
salvage,
not cheap.
I was thinking
it's not cheap at all. Just so everybody's aware if they go.
No, right. And that's definitely something somebody needs to be aware of there.
Or architectural salvage to bring it in. Some people will bring it, they'll buy a pediment and you can hang it on your wall and, you know, look at with a great piece of art underneath it. Looks incredible. And you won't see it in anybody else's house.
No, you won't. It's different.
And everybody will wish they had it.
A statement piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nice stuff. Scott Frasier, Infinite Interiors. How does someone get in touch with you?
You can contact me through my cell, 570-933-0495. Or you can email me at scottfrazier, 1219@gmail.com.
Thank you, Frasier. When you said salvage, I was thinking, oh, no. I was thinking of cars.
No. No. Pat just woke up.
There's not a junkyard. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. A local junkyard. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, God, here we go. Here steering we go. Wheels as art pieces.
Yeah, bumpers.
Yeah, bumpers. Yeah, that would be nice in your garage, Pat.
That would be beautiful.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, we have a very affordable getaway property. It's in Eagle Lake. It's a two-bedroom RV on its own lot at 284 Wildlife Way in Covington Township for $89,000.
Covington.
That's what I said. Eagle Lake has community water and sewer, and you own the land. The taxes are only $1,000 a year. Eagle Lake is a private gated community. It's got a lake with sandy beaches, outdoor pool, clubhouse, tennis courts, and lots more. That's a modern two-bedroom RV with a deck at 284 Wildlife Way in Covington Township for only $89,000, and that's listed by Gail Lewis of our office.
It's time to wrap up another enlightening episode of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM The Talker.